my life a wreck you're making.
You know I'm yours, but just the taking.
I gladly surrender myself to you, body and soul.
Let's listen to Tony Bennett and Amy Winehouse, Body and Soul, 2011. He passed away at age 96. Richard Krause, host of Last Call with Richard Krause and a News Talk 1010 contributor and host, joins us. I guess, Richard, this is not surprising. We had watched him decline, even though he performed recently, seems recently, maybe it wasn't that recently, with Lady Gaga, but... you know, he's gone, and I think he is perhaps the last of an era.
He is the last of an era. You know, he was one of those last great, you know, connections to this golden age of what Frank Sinatra called saloon singers. And so you had Sinatra and Dean Martin and Sammy Davis Jr. and Tony Bennett, people who treated the lyrics to the songs with equal import to the musical aspects of the song. And that's what Sinatra said made a great saloon singer, was someone who could really sell the story. And Tony Bennett was able to do that with really unique phrasing, this beautiful voice, and just a warmth that came out of every note that he ever sang. You kind of felt like you were being transported when you listened to him sing. And even though his voice diminished over the years, you know, he had this tenor when he started, and it was a little grainier, more of a baritone as his career went on. It felt lived in, and it felt like you were listening to the sum total of his experience. So when he sang "I Left My Heart in San Francisco" in 1962, it sounded different when he sang it in 2002, but it sounded richer and it sounded lived in, and it was still equally as beautiful.
And he did so, I mean, I'm just trying to, like, I'm not an expert on music, but Tony Bennett just was always there, and he's won so many, like, how many albums did he put out? He won so many Grammys, I can't even count them all.
Well, nominated for 36 Grammys, won 18 of them. I think he made upwards of 70 albums, started recording in 1949. And then, but really, you know, it wasn't until the early to mid 50s that he really hit a stride, ruled the 60s, had a rougher time in the late 70s. By 1980, he had a crippling cocaine habit, rock and roll, you know, which he battled against in the 60s and 70s, kept him off the charts and looked like it was going to end his career. And then his son Danny said, "You've got lots of miles left in you." So they got him cleaned up, got him back on the road, and revitalized him. And all of a sudden, Tony Bennett, you know, he was never not cool, but he was hip again. And that role lasted right up until the end of his life. And he ended up working, we just heard a little bit of Amy Winehouse there. Lady Gaga had a real special connection with him. And she did his last show at Carnegie Hall a couple of years ago with him. And was, there's a great clip going around on YouTube right now of her being interviewed for 60 Minutes. And when the show was over, she said, "May I have the honor of walking you off stage for the last time?" And even though he had Alzheimer's at that point and was not well, he was still singing beautifully and he could remember all the lyrics. And then as she takes his hand and leads him off stage, he looks back at the audience and waves one last time. And man, it's a moment.
And he's passed away at 96. So yeah, people will miss him.
People will miss him. You know, there's this one other little bit of trivia that I kind of love about him. He played the song with Amy Winehouse. That was from a collection of duets that he did, released in 2011. And it went to the top of the charts. That made him the oldest performer in history to release a number one album.
Wow. Yep. And you have met everybody. Have you met him?
I have not met him, but I saw him perform, and I saw him perform at the Imperial Room years ago at the Royal York. And, you know, there was just this feeling that you get sometimes when you see someone who has been doing, practicing their craft forever, and you sense that you're watching something special, if they're still invested in it. And, you know, at the time at which I saw him, he was just starting to try and get that career momentum back after the cocaine addiction and everything else. But you could tell that he was just as hungry then as he probably was in 1949, you know, out of fighting overseas in the war and trying to make his way as a singer. You could tell he wanted it, and it was an incredible show. I mean, you were just looking at one of the Goliaths, one of the great performers of all time.
Richard Krauss, while I've got you here, I have to ask a question for me. Mm-hmm. I went to the movie theater for the first time in months yesterday and saw Mission Impossible 212, part 1 of 36, yes. I think. Let's not talk about that. But there was a trailer for the movie, the Chris Nolan film, Oppenheimer, and it looks like the kind of movie I'd love to see. I'm into that kind of history. I'm into that period. But cinephiles are going nuts about this movie, and they're insisting I got to see it in a movie that has this type of projector or that type of screen. What is going on? What is so special about this film?
Well, this happens every time Christopher Nolan releases a movie, because he is a real purist. He shoots on film, often shoots on IMAX film, which is really cumbersome. The cameras are huge, and it's difficult, but the image is beautiful that you get, and it has the feel of film. So many movies now are shot digitally. They look different. They feel different. Nolan is old school in that way, and the Nolanites, the people that follow him, and they are legion, there's a lot of them, insist that if you're going to see this movie, you have to see it either in IMAX or in 70 mil. And there's not that many places you can do that here in Toronto. Vaughan has probably the best facility, one of it in North America, at the Cineplex up there. But you can see it at 70 mil at the Varsity downtown. And all it means, really, I mean, it's obviously larger than a regular movie screen, but the definition is really highlighted. There's more depth to the photography. It's more immersive. And for my money, I saw it on it was supposed to be 70 mil, and it wasn't. There was a problem with the print, and I just saw a regular print, and it still looks beautiful, absolutely beautiful. And it's a very compelling story about the father of the atomic bomb. But it is a movie that I would say deserves to be seen as large and as loud as possible. Just because, not that it's an action movie, which it is certainly not. It's more of a character study, but it's just so beautifully made that I think you want to just sit in front of it and let it wash over you. It's 3 hours long, and Nolan guides you through it piece by piece by piece by piece, and creates a world that I think you want to see it as pristinely as possible.
Yeah, it's Oppenheimer. It's about the people behind the Manhattan Project, the creation of the first nuclear weapons. I've got about 60 seconds, Richard Krauss. Is there any reason why a 59-year-old man would want to go see Barbie?
Well, take your kids, maybe. I mean, I've seen it, and it's a great deal of fun. The Barbie movie is super fun. It's going to make an absolute fortune. It made $22 million yesterday, which puts it up just slightly higher than the preview total for Batman. And that movie went on to make $134 million in its opening weekend, the Robert Pattinson Batman film. So this is going to be absolutely enormous, I think. And if you just want to go have a good time at the movie, you can check that one out. But be warned, this is not just a 2-hour commercial for Barbies. This is a movie with smarts, with depth, takes you unexpected places, and will make you think afterwards. It's all about what it really means to be human.
Interesting, because the people who were trying to sell me on a ticket were telling me it's not what I think. It sounds like maybe it's not what I think.
It's not what you think. And, you know, this is a film that has, I mean, people by and large love it. And by and large, I mean, like 90% love it. There's the 10% who are complaining that it's about toxic masculinity and it doesn't treat men particularly fairly. I would disagree with all of that. But I would also say, go see it for yourself and have a good time at the movies, because it's the most fun I've had in a while at a film.
Richard Krause, host of Last Call with Richard Krause. Thanks so much for your time.
Thanks, Mark. Thanks for having me.
We talked about Tony Bennett, passed away at 96.